You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. ReadyMade Resources has a limited number of PVS-30 night vision scopes for $4,700. These are the top-of-the-line night vision scopes used by the U.S. military, which normally sell for over $11,000. Turn your 12-hour rifle into a 24-hour rifle. Visit ReadyMade Resources to get your PVS-30 today. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. Today's guest is Troy and Shelly Post of Stampede Airsoft. Troy and Shelly were contestants on the new CBS reality show, Hunted, where they had to evade being captured by the panoptic surveillance state that Orwell and Snowden tried to warn us about. Troy, Shelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Mark.
Now, talk to us a little bit about your experience on the show. You guys evaded capture for 18 days, is that right?
Felt like a whole lot longer than that, to be honest.
Yeah, it seemed like a lot longer than 18 days because, you know, what we had to go through and the state of mind we were put in, you know, immediately and things like that. But it was a heck of an experience to be thrust into something like that. You know, we, with our business and stuff, we do all kinds of different scenarios and stuff. But to be able to do something like this, it was really different. It was a real different to have, like...
It was more surreal, I think, than it plays out on TV, yeah. Actually. Because they kind of really sabotaged us at our launch. We were actually eating lunch and they kind of showed up. So we were completely unaware of the exact timing of when we were going to be launched. So it was immediate chaos from the absolute get-go.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that happened that didn't show on TV and stuff. But like she was saying with the launch, you know, plays into like what can happen in a real world scenario and stuff. So it was interesting and we had a really, really fun time and I think it was good.
Your strategy to avoid the surveillance state at first was to completely avoid civilization. So you had no social media contact, no phones, no computers, no car, and no banking activity. These are the ways our government often uses to keep tabs on us, right?
Yep.
Absolutely. We were playing this game long before we were playing this game, just in preparation and knowing that they were probably going to get hold of our phones and our computers, and yep. which they did, actually. They took all of our stuff and analyzed it. So that was quite interesting. It's a very awkward feeling to be out, I would say, to be out and not have any electronics really at your disposal, like we're so used to. So,
well, it's just like, you know, you get so used to using like Google Maps, you know, and you look for directions and it's like, and as stupid as it sounds, we can read maps. We can, you know, navigate in the woods and stuff, but to have something and not have that with you and you're like, okay. Cause there was a few instances we were like,
we didn't even know where we were.
We didn't know where we were half the time. Yeah. So it was like, and that was the whole plan, because the more that nobody knew or we didn't know, then it's harder for somebody to track us. So that was kind of our strategy, was to just go so crazy off the grid that, you know, it was going to be difficult and we would see from a long distance you coming if you were coming after us.
A lot of preppers have this idea that if society ever breaks down, they're just going to go live off the land. But very few folks who have this as their plan have ever actually lived in the wild for probably more than a weekend. Was that tough for you guys?
I would say... tough as in, there were definitely some situations where, I mean, we filmed in the middle of June, or in all of June. So, I mean, in Florida, it was pretty brutal. I mean, it was really brutally hot. And I knew from the get-go that we wanted to be by the water. We're both kind of water babies. And so we knew we wanted to be somewhere near the water. And when we had gotten into the woods, it was so incredibly hot. I mean, we were carrying 70-pound bags. And we had a bunch of water actually with us.
Yeah, we made sure we had a lot of water, but and we had a water filter that we had with us too. Which is kind of interesting because we never had to use it, but...
But there was a point where we couldn't find water, and yeah. Troy went running and, you know, yeah. And was looking for it, and it got to almost a little bit of a panic situation where I was conserving my water because I know he drinks more than me, so it got a little sketch there for a little bit, but, you know, we ate MREs. You know, I've had people ask, what did you eat? Where, you know, and we had MREs, and we both said if we ever have to eat those again, we'll we're going to protest, but.
Yeah, I'm done with MREs. I'll eat dirt before I eat. I mean, yeah, eating MREs continually, I mean.
It's a preparation, and I think it was an experience that we would never be able to truly replicate unless the walls really did come tumbling down because – you know, when we go camping, even if you're trying to rough it, you're still not really roughing it. You're still going to make sure your feet are clean before you get into bed and that you have proper bug spray and, you know, all the things that you would typically carry with you. I mean, we had some things, but...
We had what we had, and that's all you could pick. Yeah. We had to pack all of our stuff inside of less than an hour and be gone before they had our names and information to come start looking for us. So... You got to think about that. You know, it's one thing to prep, but we weren't allowed to prep. So
right.
You've got to go with exactly what you have. And then you get out there and you kind of realize, okay, I could have used this, I could have used this, and I could have used this. But my main things was I wanted a knife, a machete, and, you know, something to start fire with. So right. That we could, and a tarp. A tarp was very important yeah. Because if it started raining, I could make a lean-to or do something else, you know, keep our gear, you know, dry as possible. And you know, we did that. We did pretty good. But it was,
you know, while we were walking through the woods and we were making these treks and we were quite miserable. I mean, we saw that on TV and I really wasn't as miserable as they showed, but, there were definitely points and there was reasons why we were so broken at that point. But there were times where we wanted to ditch the tent. We wanted to just hammock. We wanted to, ditch our sleeping pads and ditch the tarp. I mean, there were times, I mean, it was just so encumbered, everything. And, I'm glad we didn't because there were definitely times when we used, you know, hammocks as opposed to the tents and we were getting tore up by mosquitoes so bad laying in our hammocks. I mean, I would never leave anywhere without a thermocell. I used to make fun of them, but that was an absolute lifesaver. One buddy of ours that helped us, he brought us thermocell, and it was just, I never had such an amazing time with an item ever.
But the mosquitoes were so bad when we were, because we were so far in the swamps. I mean, our producer's satellite phone wouldn't even work, but we were so far in the swamps, and the mosquitoes were so horrible. They were biting us through the hammocks. I mean, we looked like we had stitches all up and down our arms. I mean, we got to the point where we were barefoot. I mean, we had cuts all over us. It was pretty brutal. We'd go to bed with mud up to our knees every night. But it was
definitely how we chose to play, you know? I mean, we wanted to be true. And you know, I've heard some of the other fugitives have said, you know, we wanted to have fun with it. Well, first and foremost, we're competitive as all get out. And at first we wanted to taunt the hunters and we wanted to do all this stuff. And then it got down to when we got into it was, listen, we're going to win this because we got a lot of people, you know, believing in us and we're going to use some of our training that we have. And so it was, I mean, as the game progressed, I mean, I don't think we ever even stopped to say, you know what, this is just a game. I remember several times Troy saying, we're playing too hard. And, you know, it was so in the mindset and paranoia and everything. It was incredible. It was an absolutely incredible experience. You know, and you can't really, when you watch it on TV, you maybe don't get quite that, but it was surreal for us.
Yeah.
It was really real when we were on.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out silver.com today.
In the Days of Elijah, Book 2, Wormwood, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. Everett and Courtney Carl have survived the Seven Seal Judgments, which devastated the planet. But have their efforts to stay alive been in vain? The next series of judgments to fall upon the earth are known as the Seven Trumpets. Within this series of cataclysms is the earth's collision with a giant asteroid known as Wormwood. poison much of the planet's freshwater supplies, making survival nearly impossible. With each subsequent trumpet judgment, their odds of living grow slimmer. If Everett and Courtney are to survive, they'll need perseverance, faith, and a great outpouring of providence from the Almighty. Buy your copy of The Days of Elijah, Book 2. Wormwood, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition, from Amazon.com today.
Tell me what a thermocell is. I'm not familiar with that.
It's a mosquito repellent. Yeah, it's got a little butane thing in it. It's got a fan. It's got the little, I don't know if it's citronella or something, but it smokes, and it, like, it, you know, we would put it underneath of our hammocks, so that it would, like, kill all the mosquitoes on the backside of the hammocks and stuff.
I didn't really know how to use it. So
she would sleep. She would wrap up in her hammock with it. She would sleep with it, and you're not supposed to breathe it.
I pretty much about killed myself. I woke up hacking and burning lungs, but, you know, the mosquitoes weren't biting me all night.
Yeah, it was. She would do that, and I would sit over there, you know, and we would try to wear, like, thick long sleeve shirts. I mean, you got to think, you know, this is during a tropical storm. This is during, you know, June, where it's blazing hot, and, you know, we had long pants on, long sleeve shirts, doing whatever we had to do to survive, because we knew, okay, our goal was 28 days. So, you know, we just wanted to make it to the end and survive. That was our main goal. Whatever we had to do, we were going to do. It didn't matter what it was.
But back to your question, the thermocell, you can get them at, like, any of the sporting goods stores, and it's just, it's handheld. You can clip it on your clothes. You can put it, you're supposed to put it below your hammock and it goes around you. I promise you that is probably the single most appreciated thing of everything that we had, because the mosquitoes were horrendous.
Oh yeah.
And we didn't get that until, when we got into the woods, it was probably day 11, because we didn't go directly to the woods, but by day 11, I think, is when we got that. And it was just, I mean, it was like God sent that to us. It was amazing.
I noticed in one of the scenes that, Troy, you built a fire using a fire starter. So I'm guessing this wasn't your first camping trip.
No, we've done a lot of camping. I mean, ever since I was a kid, I've always, you know, camped, shotguns, done everything under the sun. So Shelly's done the same. But that particular situation
was kind of funny.
And, we were in the swamp, and it had been raining and raining and raining and raining, and every single thing was soaking wet. So we couldn't get a fire started to save our lives, and we hadn't eaten and stuff. So
just so you know, I packed dryer lint because I know dryer lint. I learned that dryer lint will start no matter what. So we used dryer lint. I used we used the flint. We had as dry as sticks and stuff that we could get. We used
steel wool with 9-volt battery.
You used steel wool. We used lighters. We used matches, and we finally got it started. I mean, it was like it took forever. It was almost like we were getting punked. It was really funny. So the whole time he's using it, and I'm like, he actually was using the lighter that actually got it started, because everything was so wet. And nothing would catch. But I'm glad they got that part, because it made him look really cool. Because in any other time, it would have been great.
Yeah. My hands were shot out from trying to start that fire that day. I mean, that wasn't the first time we
did
it.
That was about 45 minutes.
Yeah. It was crazy. But it was a necessity. We had to have a fire. You know, we had some raw chicken, and we had no cooler. We had to cook the chicken and get it cooked. And you know, even eat it a few days later, even though it was slimy. Didn't matter. But, you know, you do what you got to do to survive.
Palmetto branches are great in Florida, because those dried palmetto branches, something about them that it's almost like a water repellent that's on the outside of them. You can just shake those things off, and you can almost shake them dry if it's not still raining. And I'll use, when I camp, it's like it usually rains. So, I keep cotton balls that I soak in, candle wax, and then I'll break that apart. And I'll tell you what, those palmetto branches, those things just like go, they don't burn very long, but they're good for a starter to get your other tinder going, and it'll dry out, you know, your smaller sticks and things so that you can get a fire going. But, that's one of the best things I've learned in Florida is those palmetto branches. They're fantastic for that.
I like that cotton ball trick. That's yeah, pretty that's neat. Pretty Where cool. We were kind of on this little, we were on the Withlacoochee River, and we just kind of pulled over and we're like, oh, this looks good. Now, after we had kind of set everything up, we noticed all the gator slides pretty much almost entirely around us. So it was very, very, very wet where we were. It was very muddy, and I do not recall even seeing any palmetto fronds, to be honest.
No.
Now that I think about it.
No, there was no palmettos where we were at, which was totally weird for Florida, because I'm, you know, born and raised in Florida, lived here my whole life, but it was weird. But like she was talking about the alligator slides. That's the night we had the raw chicken, and it's like, we were kind of like, maybe we should move this over here, you know? It's like,
probably not
a good idea. You can hear the gators coming up and down at night, and we had actually night vision with us, so I would go out and I would look and just kind of watch at night and make sure there was nothing coming our way or whatever, and you could just see the gators everywhere.
Yeah, you saw eyes absolutely everywhere.
You know, it was pretty interesting. But you know what was funny? The entire time we only saw one snake. So, go for it. Yeah, that's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, so. The gators are – I was kayaking on the St. Sebastian River last weekend, and I rolled my kayak over like right after I'd seen a gator. So it's not very easy to get back in a kayak when you're in the water. You really got to take that thing over to the bank and just kind of relaunch from the bank. But that was a kind of an uneasy feeling being in the water right after we'd seen that gator. So, I feel your pain on that one. What did you guys do for water purification?
We had like a straw water filter,
We actually had the tablets too, in case.
But, you know, like I said, it was last minute everything, so we had to do what we had to do. I mean, we were going to boil water if we had to or whatever, but, we were hoping it wasn't going to get to that point. But we were pretty much always good on water besides that one time in the Withlacoochee Forest where it got pretty desperate and I had to hike a few miles each direction to try to find something. And there was absolutely nothing. But we ended up finding a water source anyhow. But
there's a lot of things that obviously didn't come through on the show, which is really sad because there was some really gem, really funny moments, like tear-filled moments, just random crazy running into people that I haven't seen in 24 years. I mean, I remember looking into the camera and saying, you know, I think I said it probably three times. If I was watching this for myself, I would think this was all planned because it was just so wild. And to me, I think God had really a big part in our whole entire journey. Sure. Despite being caught at 18 days, it happens for whatever reason, you know, he knows, but everything kind of really worked out for us because at the point when we were done, absolutely done with MREs at that point, because it was miserable. You know, we had run across a teacher that I hadn't seen in 24 years and it was just the most random, unbelievable. I mean, I really don't even know where we were. Kind of a situation. So, and they actually gave us some like of the chicken and things like that, that we had to kind of carry us on a little further. And it was really a really neat experience that God's intervened so many times in our journey. It was a really great humbling experience. That's for sure. Cause we, you know, with Troy and I think, we've always done everything ourselves and it was kind of frustrating and it was kind of a hit to the pride because Lenny DePaul had done a video on us and said that he didn't think we had what it takes to survive as fugitives and that we would need people to do things for us. And it couldn't have been any further from the truth because anybody that knows us will tell you that we do everything ourselves
that's the complete opposite. Yeah, we do everything. We won't ask for help just out of the – We just like to do things ourselves. We don't want to inconvenience anybody else and we just like to, you know, do things ourselves and figure it out and do whatever it takes.
And with this, we really had to step out of that comfort zone and we needed, you know, we did need help and we did use help and accepted it as graciously as we could, this, you know, given our circumstances, but it was so humbling and was so, it was just a great experience. I mean, looking back on it and even during it, I'd say we're going to remember we're having fun because it was a struggle. I mean, we were paddling. We paddled, I think one day about 17 miles up the river just to get to our next spot.
With a loaded down metal canoe with, you know,
our bags and
what, 200 pounds of stuff in it between the water,
between
the
bags. Yeah.
So, I mean, we had probably like 5 inches before the whole thing, you know, sunk and everything. But we had, you got to do what you got to do with what you got. You can't just go around and say, hey, I'm going to go buy another kayak or I'm going to go do this. You got to deal with what you got. So,
yep.
And now, besides the MREs, were you guys able to forage for wild edibles or fish, or did you sneak any granola bars out of the cameraman's bag?
No.
We did bring like some tuna fish and crackers. We did that. Thank God we didn't. I'm not adventurous with my food, unfortunately. Troy was going to fish. But at the point when we were about to, we actually found a lure in the tree and some fishing line, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But he didn't end up fishing. He was going to. There was fish everywhere, but.
Yeah, I was going to fish, but I didn't want to do things because our environment would change and we weren't sure, okay, the next day, were we going to be here or there or wherever? So, I mean, things would change rapidly. We, in the middle of the night, we'd be like, we're going to do this tomorrow. We're going here. And then it would change by the morning time. And we would have a totally different plan because, you know, like she was talking about with God the whole time, you know, we both have discernment. It would just be like, he would like, I think God was telling us to go in a different direction and we would go in that direction. And it really worked out well for us, you know, for the most point.
Yeah.
But, Shelly had a lot of things. She would say stuff and it would happen probably 30 minutes right after she said it. It was the craziest thing. It happened so many times, but,
it was neat. Really,
yeah, God was really speaking to us out there. And I'll tell you, to be out there in the wild and listen to the owls hunting at night in the swamps and just peace and quiet, not having cell phones and stuff, man. Oh my gosh, there's nothing like it. It's absolutely amazing. You know,
we don't take enough time. But you know, when you about the food and the foraging and stuff, with this that we were on an actual game and we couldn't just stay still. Which is what everybody, you know, going to hunker down in real world scenario. You're going to hunker down and kind of keep an eye on your surroundings and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And we couldn't do that.
No.
So for us, it wasn't like we could just settle in, make camp and just relax.
Yeah.
We never felt comfortable enough that we could just sit for 2 days or just, you know, just kind of chill. So we were constantly, you know, running through our heads. What's next?
Yeah.
Where, you know, and our heads were on such a swivel the whole time.
It would have been much easier if we could just go, okay, if they dropped us off here on like some of these other shows and said, okay, you have to survive here for X amount of days. I'm good with that because that's, to me, in my mind, is easier than what we went through because
we weren't just worried about what we were going to eat. It was, where are we going to go that we can be concealed? How are we going to get there?
Yeah, who's watching you? What's your backup plan if you do see somebody on the river while you're in the boat? Are you ready to rock and roll as soon as something happens? You know, what are you going to do? Where are you going? How fast can you get there? Do you have enough supplies to last you from here to there? I mean, you know, so you're constantly dragging this string along with you that you have to make sure that, you know, you're covering all your ends. I mean, there's times, you know, we burnt our garbage when we left. You know, I would cover up so it looked like nobody was ever where we were at. I mean, we covered our footprints up. I mean, we did so many things, you know, to be precautious about everything. And, you know, it was crazy.
And even when you're just in a show like this, all these challenges of being separated from what you know and the lifestyle you're accustomed to, it's stressful. How did prayer and your faith in God help you during that time?
Oh, honestly, I think the number one thing was being disconnected from social media and disconnected from just, you know, everyday drama. So, you know, we have our business that we're at and we are constantly thinking of 24/7, in one way or another, you know, and then you always are looking up all your social media and everything that's going on and you're just trying to stay in tune with everything. I think for us, for me personally, was just getting away from all that and being in the moment and having that. We just kept saying, like, shutting off all the noise, you know. There was no noise, so we had time to kind of communicate with God more than I give myself during the day. And so that was a huge lesson for me because I've never had discernment. And our cameraman kept asking us, like, explain it to me. And it's something that I've never, ever experienced. Troy, I think, has always kind of had a discernment. But I've never had this discernment where I see things kind of not – it's not hokey. You see things before they're going to happen. And because I don't know, God gives you this view of, okay, if this happens, that's what's going to happen. So I think we were much more in tune. I was much more in tune for sure, you know, with my surroundings, and that God, I felt like God was really talking to me this time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was definitely talking to us. Well, I mean, you know, I brought two Bibles with me, and, you know, I was reading, I would read my Bible all the time and stuff. Yeah. I mean, just to kind of, you know, get close to God and kind of, you know, because he was there with us the whole time. He already knows what's going to happen before it even happens. So, you know, why not rely on God more in your life? So that's, you know, that's what we do in our everyday lives. We rely on God. So, you know, that's what we did being on the run. Nothing changes that. You know, that didn't shake away from us. So we were strong with that the whole time. We would pray all the time, you know.
And I remember there was one particular night where we felt really comfortable where we were, and then we were going to stay another day. And I remember waking up and Troy waking up, and we were like, "Now we got to get out of here." And honestly, the crew was going, "What the heck? We thought we were good, you know?" And we just, which I'm not supposed to talk about the background stuff, but you know, we're like, "No, we're out of here." And so we just completely changed plans right then. And I feel like it led us to an even better position and a better place where we felt even more comfortable. So I think it was just that listening to him when he's talking, that when you have too much noise around you, you just don't pay attention and grasp that. And I think that was the biggest lesson for me, really.
Yep. We talk about it now, and I'm like, you know, I would love to go buy like 100 acres somewhere in Northern Florida or something and just have property out there that we just go out there and
just live
out there for like a month, you know, just go out there and just do it and get away, because the feeling you get when you're out there doing that and how close you get to God, you know, and if you truly listen to him and stuff, it's hard to explain. It's not anything you can read in a book or something. You got to kind of just do it. But, you know, our faith has gotten much stronger since the show. We've learned a lot of things about ourselves. We've learned a lot of things about, you know, different things in general, but, it's pretty awesome that we had the opportunity to do it and that God chose us to be, you know, in these positions in our lives. And we're very thankful.
And to be completely honest, we're grateful that the show allowed that part of us to be shown, because you never know, you know, you never know if that's going to come across. How's it going to translate? Are they going to cut all those scenes? But I don't think they really could, because that's all we talked about was God, you know? So that was important to us, and I'm glad they left that part of us, because that's the important part, you know?
My Uncle Pete told us right before we left, he said, "Listen, Troy," he said, "all you have to do is put God first and have fun." He said, "You guys will be fine." And that was our motto the whole time, is put God first and have fun, and we did.
Well, that's a fantastic strategy, and I think you did a good job of just filling it with so much Jesus that they couldn't edit it all out. That's the end of the first half of my interview with Troy and Shelley Post of Stampede Airsoft. Tune in next week for the rest of the show. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com.